Did anybody see anybody they know on the screen? Was you on the screen? Oh, yeah. Brooke, were you on there? Probably, yes. High likely. See Eddie? Yeah. Who else do we see?
Pixie.
Justin. Yeah. Justin. Yeah. Is it Eli and Nick? Man, we got a crew. Yeah. All right, y'all. Man, so glad to see each one of you. Thankful you get to come here, and it's a great day, obviously, because we get to eat together and enjoy a meal. If you're new with us today, that's why there's tables. We normally have rows of chairs, but this is a special day, so you get to stay a little while, I hope. And Sandy, as Christy was saying earlier, is preparing an amazing meal for us. And so I promise, if I go a little long, we're feeding you, so it's okay, right? Yeah. Forgive me of some grace, right? Well, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for how you are already meeting us here in this space, God. We thank you, Lord, for your blood. It just really touched, Lord Jesus, by the way we've been worshiping you this morning and recognizing your amazing gift of love through your sacrifice. And God, how your blood covers us and restores us and brings us in wholeness to you. And Lord Jesus, we just thank you for what you're about to continue to do this morning, Father, in the ways of opening up your word, your commandments, and your commissioning to us, Father. And we just ask you, Lord, now, as we sit in this space, Lord, that you open our hearts and open our minds, Lord Jesus, to receive from you and your Holy Spirit flow through this place. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, go. 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 What did you feel? What did your body feel when you hear that word? Did you feel like maybe, oh, I've got to tense up a little bit. I got to stand up. I've got to do something. I got to move. When we hear that word go, there really is only one response. There's no ambiguity to it. It's you got to move. You got to do something. You can't stay where you are. And see, this is an important word. This is a word that Jesus used, and he didn't use it lightly. Because when Jesus comes to our earth and walks this place, after he's done all his teachings, after he has done all his miracles, after he has laid his life down through love on the cross, and after he had stepped out of that grave in all of victory over sin and death, and before he ascends to the right hand of the Father and sits on that throne, he gives a very important instruction to his followers, and that is to go. And so over the next 4 weeks, we will be exploring this commissioning by Jesus. We will explore how the early church, empowered by the Holy Spirit, was launched into a world to participate in God's redemptive plan. Starting with Jesus' ascension today, we will also see how the church, given this clear command to go and make disciples of all nations, isn't just an individual call, but a corporate mission, a partnership with the Holy Spirit that transforms a group of believers into a movement that changes the world. And we'll see how their bold witness and radical generosity became a living testament to God's love in their community and beyond. And we'll discover that the church is not a stationary place to be comfortable, but a dynamic growing force on the move. We'll see how the early believers became new temples of God, embodying his presence and challenging the old ways. And through their story, we will see how God used persecution and cultural shifts to expand his mission to all people, including a multi-ethnic international movement. So this series will be a challenge for us as a church to take deeper steps of faith, to be confident in our calling, and to participate in God's mission right here in Chapel Hill and to the ends of the earth. And I want to say, if you're here today and you are, let's say, curious about Jesus, you're interested, but you're not bought in, you say, I'm not ready for that yet, I am so glad you're here. If you're listening and that's who you are, I'm so glad you're here. Just letting you know, this series is going to talk a lot directly to those who are followers of Jesus, those who are considered in his church, but also want to highlight this is a great time for you to hear. Because what you will hear is God's call to the world and why we do what we do and why we love is the way we love. And so you'll learn a lot. And my prayer is also that you will get to know Jesus as we do together. But if you have your Bibles today or you have your phone and you want to turn to a place in the Bible, you can go to Matthew 28, starting verse 16. It'll also be on the screen for you. And also right now, if you want to, you can actually scan this QR code or go to lovechapelhill.com/sermons. There you will find an additional amount of resources. You will find some weekly meditations and some additional questions. So I want to encourage you to go there. But we're going to start in Matthew 28, verse 16, and it says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore,'" here we go, "'go and make disciples of all nations.' Then he says, 'Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" This is considered in church history as the Great Commission, this commissioning that Jesus gives to his followers just before he ascends beyond the veil into heaven beside the right hand of the Father. And Jesus' last statement is to what? To go and make disciples. And so I thought this morning we'd walk through what Jesus is actually saying here. What are these instructions? What do they actually mean? And so we have to start before he actually says go. He says go in a certain way. He says go in his authority. Go in authority of Jesus. See, this is an important claim that Jesus is making. He's saying his followers, as he now is the ruler of the world. Jesus is making this claim that is based on this messianic victory over sin and death. But the thing is, though, that people often get confused when you hear the saying Jesus is all powerful, he's the ruler of the world. And often the question that follows, and is very reasonable, is like, well, why, Jesus, haven't you fixed everything? Why is it still like this? And I like how how professor and theologian known as N.T. Wright or Tom Wright, he makes an interesting perspective on this. And he says, The claim is that he is working to take it from where it was, under the rule not only of death, but of corruption, greed, and every kind of wickedness, and bring it by slowly means and quick under the rules of his life-giving love. That's Jesus' goal. But here's the thing that's very interesting. What we see here in Matthew 28, that this is the shocker, that he does it through us and with his followers. So God is working in this world, and he's doing it with us. He's been doing this since the very beginning of creation. At the moment when the first humans were made, God wanted to work with us. He continues that mission now today. And so Jesus, under his authority, speaking now to his disciples, and we take down to the next verse in verse 19, and he says what? Go. Go under my authority, under my name, under my power, and do this to make disciples. And what discipleship means in the very simplest term in the New Testament is apprenticeship, is to learn, to grow, to be like the teacher, to be like the rabbi, to be transformed, to live and walk and love like Jesus. We call this in church history, we call it holiness. To be Christ-like is to be holy. So Jesus is saying, go make disciples of all nations under his rule of love. And then he gives them the process, the how and the why. And he says, by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He's saying, go, invite people to me. Invite people to God. So under the authority of Jesus, his followers are now invited to make new followers of Jesus by means of baptism in the name of the Trinity, in the name of God. And so I don't want to scoot past this. Let's talk a moment what that actually means. What is Jesus actually saying? What is baptism? Because it's more than somebody just being dunked under the water and coming out in the name of God. It's way more than that. And so again, we have to look at context. He's talking to his 11 disciples who have already lived and walked and breathed all the teachings and known everything. So let's look at what they are hearing. We're going to back up in Matthew 3, in verse 11. It says, this is John the Baptist saying, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. See, John the Baptist is talking about the purpose and objective of baptism. He's saying repentance. We baptize in repentance. What repentance means is turning from your one way into the other. It's literally an about face. It's like I'm looking and walking and going this way. Repentance is saying, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going this way. And everything that was there on that side is behind me, and I'm going a new way. This is the simplicity of repentance. It's turning from one old way to a new way, or an old self to a new self. And then I like how Peter in Acts 2, and the Holy Spirit has now come upon him. We're going to talk a lot more about that next week. And he tells the people, he says in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Sounds very familiar, right? But then he said, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Seeing some overlap here, okay? So Peter in Acts 2 is also saying, baptism is in the act of repentance, turning from one way to another. But he adds in this remission of sins through forgiveness. Okay? These are two key important parts of baptism. And so where repentance is saying, making a choice, saying, I am saying to God, I am not going to be that anymore. And Lord Jesus, help me through the Holy Spirit to not be that way anymore, to turn and to be towards you. But here's the thing, once we turn, because of forgiveness, these things are connected, because we say, well, Lord, help me do that, is saying, Lord, forgive me for all that I've done against you, everything that I've sinned, everything that I've taken on selfishly. And what that does is we turn and repent, and we're looking the other way, we now have a clean slate. We are empty and available to be filled by everything that we are facing towards, and that is towards Jesus. And Jesus' life then fills us and who we are. This is baptism. And see, the story of God goes like this. The Father sends the Son, and the Son brings the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit fills us in that blank slate, going the new direction. We follow after him. We be transformed like him. And we walk like him. We talk like him. We live like Jesus. And Jesus is the foundation of our baptism. It's his life. And it's his sacrifice and his victory that we share in what? Communion. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. When we turn from our old ways in a clean slate with forgiveness, then God fills us in communion with all of him, all of God. Father, Son, and Spirit, we are in communion with God. That's a big task, right? So let's catch up. Jesus' disciples are given all authority to work with Jesus to create more disciples, people who follow after Jesus to live, to love, and to walk like him in life. And this happens spiritually in communion with God as we repent, means be like Jesus, with forgiveness, the clean slate to be like Jesus, to share in his life, his sacrifice, and his victory. He gives to us, and he goes with us. And then he's not done. Once we've been transformed, once disciples have moved towards him or facing him, then there's what we do. And he says in verse 20, he says, they're taught to obey everything he had commanded, saying, go, teach them to love. Why do I say love? But we have to look here. He says, to command them, him. Now, Jesus said a lot of things. He has some amazing teachings. But everything stemmed, all his teachings, everything stemmed from one commandment. And there was a point that the Gospels record when he's asked, what is the greatest commandment? And I love we get to go back here today because we're going to go back to Matthew 22 and verse 37. And I'm excited why we're doing that in a second. And it says, after Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment is, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. And then he goes, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. The reason why I'm excited to talk about this today is because if you have been with Love Chapel since the very beginning of the year, January of 2026, we started this year off with an intentional focus as a church to live out this commandment, to love God and love people, to see these things as one breath, two sides of the same coin. If you're here, do you remember that? This has been our journey as a church this year, to walk this path, to be discipled as a church, to see these things as one in the same. And if you look back at the rhythms of the way we have been learning and growing here on Sunday mornings, we started off after that series, that two-week series of Like It, talking about this commandment. We walked into this world of Jesus' justice. And we grew to know that love moves by the hands to seek justice for those that do not have a voice. In the ways of Jesus leads us to do that, to reach to the marginalized, to reach those in need, to love everything that God has ever created, to love people because we love Jesus. And then we walked into a series called Getting to Know Jesus, and we grew together and we grounded ourselves as we learned and growed in understanding who the giver of life actually is. And so if we can't love with the heart of Jesus, if we don't know how to love Jesus here as a church. And then when the series we just finished was On the Road Again, where we walked through this road to Emmaus in Luke 24, and we learned and grew in knowing his presence opens our eyes to both see him and to see others. You see what we've been doing? And now we are invited to go. As a church, we are invited to go and make disciples of all nations and to follow Jesus' command to love God and to love people. This is what following Jesus and becoming like him means, to navigate this world under his rule of love. And as a church, we will continue to enter into this discipleship. You'll see this path. We'll talk about his teachings and those intricate places of how and when we do these things. But it's all about making disciples. And we do that here, and we do that as we go out. And see, if we wanted to put a little label to this, this is the commission of the commandment. We're getting in Matthew. We're being commissioned to go and make disciples and to lead this world in love. And so for the followers of Jesus, for the church, who is all authority of Jesus, to go make disciples. And how we do this, we baptize with repentance and forgiveness, to be in communion with God, and to be the church of his disciples who obey Jesus' commands to love God and love people. This is the commission to go, to move, to make happen, to not sit still, to go. To go make disciples of all nations with no boundaries, from our homes to our neighborhoods, our streets, our workplace, our towns, our nation, and the nations. Everywhere we go, we followers of Jesus are commissioned to seek out people who need to find communion with Jesus. To summarize and simply put, Jesus is saying those who follow him is this. He took on sin and death, and he walked out of the grave. And now he has all authority, and he rules with love. This King of Love gives a final commission to his followers to go. Don't stay still. Don't get comfortable. Don't just sit in the building, but get out into our neighborhoods, into our workplaces, into our streets to find people who are broken without hope. and invite them into a radical, life-changing communion with God, where they can leave their old selves behind, get a clean slate, and learn how to live out the ultimate rhythm of life, of loving God with everything they have, and go loving the people right in front of them. And when they do, they look like someone who has found hope and love and life unified in Jesus and his church. Their lives, they live with a clean slate of hope and walking in daily repentance and forgiveness and choosing spiritual communion with God over their old life's patterns. Living a transformed life after Jesus in rhythm, not a life of rules on a checklist or on a board, but living with actual real hearts that have formed habits of genuine love for God and a hands-on approach to actively loving our neighbor. This is what it looks like. This is the commission. So this Sunday is an invitation and an inspiration, I hope, for us to go, to open our eyes, to look out as we navigate the world around us, to see those around us as someone who might just need Jesus. This is that invitation to go. Do you feel it again? That little anxiousness in your body? I gotta move. I gotta do something. I can't stay. I need to stand up. If so, that's the calling of God. That's his Spirit moving on you and moving his church to go and to make disciples just like you, and bringing that hope of Jesus you found to those you love and those maybe even you barely know. But the love of Jesus within you sends you to love them with the heart of Jesus and showing them that Jesus looks like through your life. So today is our challenge to look outward, to open our minds and hearts to see those around us who need to know Jesus. This is an invitation to accept the commission of Jesus. Now, this may feel very broad. How about we make it a little small? And so right now, I'm just going to ask you, if you're a follower of Jesus and you're navigating this world, put a face to the mission. Think of someone right now who is in your life you just know needs to know Jesus. Because here's the thing. This mission, this commissioning to go and make disciples knows no boundaries. All nations means all peoples, all types of people, all heritages, all economic statuses, no matter who or where you are, everyone needs Jesus. Who's that person? Who's that person? I'm going to ask you to hold on to that name. Or maybe hold on to that group of people. And I ask you, who is God calling you to do, to talk, to be, to take the name of Jesus to? Who is he calling you? Maybe you can ask yourself, in who am I walking with that needs to know Jesus? Who am I loving with the heart of Jesus? And who am I praying to know Jesus? And so this is our challenge, Love Chapel Hill, to keep our eyes and our hearts turned outward, to not find comfort in just being us, to open the doors to others, to see the empty seats beside you now, to saying, who should be sitting here with me? And when we do this and we pray for those, we will all celebrate every inch or bit that someone takes towards Jesus. It sometimes doesn't happen right away, but we will celebrate every move forward, and we pray that one day that they cross that line to know Jesus fully. And so as we close today, I'd love to pray for us. Lord Jesus, lead us in how we can love those around us well who do not know you, to understand their pain. And Lord, help us to know how they can trust us. Trust us Christians to see Jesus in us. Lord, help us with any barriers or boundaries that might be held in someone's heart or mind when they hear your name. Lord Jesus, soften their hearts as they hear and see our lives. Lord, let our life be something that reflects yours. Let our life be an offering to your commission to go and make disciples. Lord, give us strength when we are weak or scared. Give us the words to say when we have none. Give us even the smallest platform to speak your name with genuine love. And Lord, give us the insight and discernment when to speak, and give us courage to follow after you. Give us all we need so we can go in your name and make the disciples. We praise you in your name, Jesus. Amen.